Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of your midlife.
Well, this is fun. We have a guest today.
Yay!
Carmen, thank you for joining us.
I'm so excited to be back in this beautiful studio with this beautiful artwork. It's very exciting.
Well, today, let's talk about the power we were born with and the power that we've grown into. And you're here today because it was actually your idea several months ago, Carmen. And I love the idea and I love the thought about feminine power. So I'm actually going to kick it off to you and let you start this podcast.
Thanks, Marianne. I was thinking about this on the drive over. And as some of you might remember that listened to earlier podcasts, I've been through a very big evolution over the course of the last year. But I was thinking about people, films, TV shows that really demonstrate feminine power. And one of the ones that really sticks with me is Steel Magnolias.
Mm.
And I think about that scene at the end where the Julia Roberts character is dying and the brothers and the father slowly peel off because they can't handle it. And the last, and it makes me emotional because I have a mom and I have a daughter. The last one left is Sally Field.
Yeah.
And the guys couldn't handle it. And so when I think about being a mom, a wife, a daughter, a sister, I think a lot about my power is in my ability to sustain and endure and show up. And that power is very different from the men in my life who, and I don't mean this as a sexist thing, but more are protectors and, you know, my husband's always patrolling the perimeter. You know, he's always like doing the lawn and checking things and whatever. And that mine is sort of showing up, making sure everybody's okay, checking in on their emotional health, which gets, you know, derided from time to time as being soft. But I also know it's the core for everyone of their well-being. So that's kind of where I started today.
Yeah. Listening to you, and you know I'm a nurse, and there is a feminine power in holding the hand of somebody sick. Mm-hmm. There is a power in hugging somebody that can't quit crying. And you see more females, not it just in nursing, mm-hmm. but in general, that have that empathy. But also they're willing to step into somebody else's vulnerability that I think is a quiet, strong feminine power. I think a feminine power is intuition and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. More than anything, that is how at least it sits with me. And not everybody's like that. No, I appreciate what you said because I actually agree. I think it shows up in many ways. That is a very strong way.
I also think that when I think about feminine power, I mean more the divine feminine. It's not like men can't show that power.
True.
Just as women can show more masculine power. And I spent a long time in corporate America where I feel like I exercised that muscle too much. So it's not really about male, female, but to me that sort of hits on the divine feminine.
There's a softness about it though. And I think it's innate. Mm-hmm. We're nurturers, right? And there's a lot of strength and a lot of power in the nurturer.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even call it power. I would call it energy. And I think both men and women contain kind of the yin and the yang, a sort of a more masculine energy, which we think of like the patrolling the perimeter, protective, issue focused, and the more feminine energy, which is more nurturing, more collective, more collaborative. Men tend to be more competitive. Women tend to be more collaborative. But you can have a crossover, right? I know men who are very nurturing. And I know women who are very competitive. So it's really more, I wouldn't necessarily call it power. I think of it as energy. Mm-hmm. And I think it can go either way. But with women, we have been bred, if you will, over centuries to lean into the feminine energy,
right,
which is why we've developed that more. And I think of it as intuition as strength, but as patience. Mm-hmm. Women are so patient. And that's because, again, for generations, we've had to wait to get things done. You have to kind of be behind people and then quietly move in and take care of stuff. It's only in the past generation that women have been able to step out front and be ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. I also think, to your point, something about that I find interesting, and one of the things that I especially see as I get older, as, you know, parents get older and die, and I mean, we've talked about this before. By the time you're 40 years old, life has hit you upside the head some which right. way, right? And one of the things I find interesting is that one of the superpowers that I have and that the women in my life have, and I think it goes to that breeding and the way that we've been trained all these millennia, is that we're infinitely adaptable.
True.
And I found it very interesting when I was rearing children how much more rigid my husband was, because the world adapts to men. And the world doesn't adapt to us, but in that is a superpower for us, because it makes us very adaptable to many different kinds of situations. And, you know, there are women that I know that stayed home with their children and had to reinvent themselves when their children went off to college or whatever. And they seem to kind of move through that. Even if it's difficult, they kind of move through that in a different way than men do.
I think with men, especially with parenting, the difference between men and women, again, this is just a generalization. There's certainly people who don't fall into these things. But men tend to parent the way they think they're supposed to parent. That sort of masculine mindset is there's a set of rules, there's a structure, and this is the hierarchy in the family, and this is the way things are supposed to be done. Women are more intuitive. I think we do a better job generally in tapping into that feminine power, that feminine energy of being intuitive, of trusting what we're seeing in front of us. So most of the women I know as parents are a lot more tuned into what their kid actually requires, as opposed to what the family structure is and how things are supposed to operate. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think there's also science to it. So there is estrogen and testosterone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that plays into the mechanics or the personalities, I guess you would say, of how somebody would approach it. I mean, feminine power to me is, or energy, you can use either word, I like that. It's not conquering. I believe it's more connecting, in my opinion. I think it transforms a room without dominating. There is something special about feminine power. And men have feminine power, too. Mm-hmm. It's just different. It presents in a different way, just as you were saying that there is that, I don't want to say dominance, but there's that strong male power as well that we see in both females and males. If I'm ever in trouble, though, and I want the female power, because they do follow their gut. They don't get misguided by just logic. And sometimes you have to reason and look at something. And it's life experience. You know, I have lots of friends, and we've talked about this before. I prefer my female friends over male friends. I have very few male friends. And it is because of this feminine energy that underlies. It's almost like instead of being on the surface, it's underneath, and it just pulls you along. It flows. It's collaborative. It's good.
I think it's interesting because there's a difference between how we experience it as parents, how we experience it as friends, and how we experience it in the professional world. You are a professional woman. You have your own business. You're in really kind of a man's field. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that your feminine energy plays off in that environment?
I think I'm actually becoming a much better professional by checking my male energy at the door and letting a lot of my female energy come forward. It's been very interesting, as I don't know if y'all know this, but I was in a business partnership for about 7 years, and we shut that business down and started another one. And I started another one by myself. And I'm working with almost all CEOs, and they're men, women, you know, different kinds. But it's been very interesting. The more I lean into listening and identifying the real thing that needs to be said, and which can be very uncomfortable for people. Mm-hmm. And then sitting back and letting them take it in and not dominating, the faster my business is growing and the more people are interested in working with me. Corporate America was a very different thing. That was a place where showing that kind of vulnerability would get you eaten alive, especially at an executive level. But it was always really uncomfortable for me. And I didn't really know how to act any differently because we're still such a minority in large corporations that you kind of just have to go along with the paradigm. But as I've changed that about myself, I get a lot more vulnerability from the people I work with. And unlike you, I actually do have a fair number of male friends, in part because my career was so male. I also have very good friends who were very professionally accomplished in the corporate world, who are a little bit more like me with sort of that male energy. But my male friends, what I've noticed as I get older is that my ability to soften that a little bit and accept them where they are is really helpful to them and to me. Because it gives them a place where they can let their hair down a little bit in a way that they might not be able to as easily with their spouses. And I think that helps with their own lives.
You said something. You mentioned a word about listening. Mm-hmm. We could do a whole podcast on listening alone. There is so much strength in sitting back. And it goes back to your word of patience as well, right? Being patient, letting the conversation unfold, really listening to somebody. Mm-hmm. And not trying to dominate. Again, you can transform that entire conversation, that entire room, by just listening. There is a strength.
So that leads to a story.
Oh, good. Love your stories, Leslie.
And it actually relates to this listening thing, which I think is a female superpower. Mm-hmm. And if you listen, men tend to want to speak. And there are women that want to speak. I like to talk. But I'm much more likely to listen, which leads to better solutions, right? But it's also, listening can diffuse tension. So many years ago, I was in court. I picked up a case from another lawyer who had rotated onto a different division. So he was responsible for prepping the case. I got it shortly before I went to court. And the judge on the case was known to be a bit of a hothead. He had asked my predecessor to take care of a particular task and have a report before we got back to court on the case. And of course, the predecessor forgot to do it. So I got to court and the judge is like, Mr. Ardo, where's the report? And I said, what report? And he went bananas. I mean, the judge started screaming and just carrying on. And it was all directed at me. I'm standing at the podium. I'm shaking because I am being screamed at. And all of a sudden I realized, this is not my problem. But he needs to vent because he's rightfully angry. So I literally crossed my arms like this and I sighed. And I just let him yell. And after a minute, he kind of went down and he said, I don't know why I'm yelling at you. This isn't your fault. And I said, no, it's not. But I understand it's very frustrating. And I'm perfectly okay with you being upset. So he kept yelling. But the upshot was he vented his spleen. And when he was done, he was like, okay, I'm going to give you a couple more weeks to get this done. And I was like, great. I promise you, I will make sure it is finished. I will point out that my predecessor was a man who forgot to do it. Women tend to be better about details.
Yes.
But the point is, what I kind of got in that moment, and it really was sort of almost an epiphany for me, mm-hmm. was it's okay to let somebody vent. I don't have to immediately come back and be in conflict, which is what I think the masculine energy would sort of direct us to do, fight back. But it was kind of like, what's the thing in Taekwondo? Just step back. Martial arts. Mm-hmm. You step back and let the force of your opponent's energy take them down. And that's kind of what I think women are really good at doing. Just sit back, let it unfold. I don't have to fight with you. I will be patient. I will listen. I will absorb your anger. It doesn't diminish me.
Right.
And it actually helps both of us.
It does. Yeah, listening. You know, I'm thinking I have a really good male physician who listens. But in general, what I am seeing with my friends and my family, those that see female physicians, because female physicians will sit back and they will listen. And I'm not like saying male physicians aren't good. They have their strengths. But I am seeing that female physicians will give more time to their patients, to their clients. And by doing that, even in nursing, I'm dead in the water without listening to what this individual needs. Like, yeah, that is so important. There's no diagnostic tools. I mean, there's labs and so forth, but not a full, whole assessment without just taking a minute, listening to what somebody has to say. And obviously, my career of 30 plus years, I had to do that. And that has transformed me in my home and all of that as well. But
you're also one of the best diagnosticians I know because you.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, ditto. When I'm in trouble, I always call her.
Oh, Marianne.
Poor Marianne. Uncle trouble. It's also listening with empathy. Like one of the things I like about, and we've talked about this in another podcast, I had a male doctor who was great diagnostician, but just kind of a little cold. The woman doctor that I have now, like I was just in to see her recently and she was like, she listened and she was like, I know you're worried about this. Let me ease your mind. That is not an issue. I get why it concerns you, but we really don't have to worry about it. But I will keep on top of that if it becomes an issue. Just having someone validate that my concerns are legitimate, even if not real. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is huge when you're seeing a doctor.
You know who's really good listener is that cardiologist that you...
Oh, isn't he great?
He's terrific.
He's a male, but he has a kind of a feminine...
And he also, like... I went in there and he's like, you don't actually need to be worried about any of this, but he didn't make me feel stupid.
Right.
And that's a real gift. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a real strength.
Do you think now you have a mom who is a very successful professional woman.
Mm-hmm.
You have a daughter who's entering into the professional field. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to get your thoughts about how you think women's ability to lean into their energy and into their innate power has maybe changed over time from, say, your mother's era, her generation, down to your daughter's.
I don't want to talk out of school, but I think my mother would be okay with me sharing this story. One of the things that's really different is the way you have to show up in the workplace. Like my mother tells this story of when she was a young prosecutor in the 70s, and she literally had a judge who would chase her around a desk. Uh-huh. And like, literally, like, you know, these crazy stories. By the time I came around, there was much less of that. I mean, it still existed. But I do think that one of the things that has changed for the better is, I don't know how to say this, but sexuality as power in the workplace has diminished a lot. And that, I think, is a very positive thing. Like having to look perfect and be a certain way and that kind of thing. Even when I was coming through the ranks, there was still a lot of that. Like today I'm wearing shorts. Like who would wear shorts to do something like this 20 years ago? That would be insane, right? And when I listen to my daughter, it's very interesting. She's doing something right now and it's an all-female team. That would have been unheard of 20 years ago. Like completely unheard of in the profession that she's picked. And so I think a lot of things have changed and still many of them have stayed the same. I think one of the things that I found extremely frustrating, that my mom found frustrating, that my daughter finds frustrating, is that you can say something and nobody will listen. And then the guy next to you will say the exact same thing. And they'll be like, that's a great idea. That has not changed.
Yeah.
So I think there is still something about our voices and being listened to that mostly comes in the quiet moments and not in the public ones. Because in the public ones, people don't listen to women as much.
I do think there is a change with the younger women. And I think the most radical, and we were talking about this, the most radical change that I see in my nieces with feminine energy is they no longer ask for permission.
They do not.
And I love that. There is so much strength in that. Mm-hmm. We talked about that with your daughter. I mean, they just don't ask. They don't even think about it. The other thing is I have nieces and second cousins that are female, and they will continually correct me when I say, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you have nothing to be sorry for. It's this entrenched...
Oh, and we're Southern too, so it's even worse.
Right. And I love seeing the females moving out of that. They've moved away from it.
And I would take that a step further. They not only don't ask for permission, they don't ask for forgiveness. You know, there's an expression, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. They don't ask for either. It's like, I'm doing this, deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's startling to me because I'm a woman of a different generation. But it's also really refreshing to see that.
It's quiet in a way, too.
Yeah, it is. But it's strong.
It is very strong.
I'm learning a lot from them. I'm learning a lot from them, like, in the workplace. I listen to things that my daughter and her friends say, and I'm like, huh, maybe I need to adopt a little bit of that. Or there's a couple podcasts that I listen to that are women in their late 30s and early 40s. And I'm like, wow, they think about things a lot differently than I do. And I need to adopt a little bit of that.
You know, was there a time that either of you, or when was the time that either of you realized that your feminine power meant something or your feminine energy? Like
this story I just told, which is why I said it was an epiphany.
Yeah.
The ability to be almost nurturing in a way, right?
Well, what? You were nurturing to him?
Yeah, it was. But that doesn't have to be a passive, submissive kind of nurturing. It actually was very forceful because it made the tables turn in a way that was favorable to my position, ultimately.
Yeah.
I don't think I realized it until this past year. Huh. I think I leaned in very much to my sort of directive, pointy, like that kind of power. And over the course of the past year, both professionally and personally, I've leaned into my superpower, which is that I can really ask the piercing, difficult question that will change the course of a conversation or somebody's actions. And I can do it in a way that's compassionate and not forceful, and it has a lot more impact. And I've seen it with my family. And I've also seen it at work, but I just don't think it was, I don't think it was an awareness. Like, I come from this good West Texas stock, and these people are hard charging because you had to be. You're going to be a dry land farmer in West Texas in, you know, the 40s and 50s. It's all about toughness. And so learning how to embrace something a little less obvious has been a total epiphany for me.
Okay, you have this combination of things, and we've talked about this before because I used to just stare at you walking out your door with your power suits and these long, gorgeous legs and heels. I'm just like, so you have a very, even though you're tall, extremely feminine look to you with the way you power up, clothing wise, your hair, your makeup, the whole thing. And then you do have this very strong sense. And I don't want to say male energy, but there is a dominance in the way you speak, the way you command a room. You have this unique combination of both. It's wonderful. So you probably did not, that combination took you a long way.
To my 50s to be comfortable with, because I was like, it's uncomfortable. And see, I always looked across the street and was like, why can't I be more like that? I mean, when I met Marianne and she's like, I wanted to have babies and make cookies. And I was like, all I want is to want to have babies and make cookies. And I just didn't. And then over the years, what I would observe was, yeah, but those boys in her house, they have no idea that she actually runs everything here.
Pretty much.
She is the focal point of that home.
100%. 100%.
There's a quietness, a strength under that. Yeah.
Which is how we sort of got talking about this, because it's so interesting when you have, I mean, you got a couple alpha males in your house, and yet.
Yeah, I do.
She manhandles them.
And yet, although you have several alpha males in your own
house. I do. I have three.
Except for the dog. You and the dog. I will say this. All of your men. All the men in your home have, I think, developed their feminine energy because they've learned it from you.
Aww.
I really think that.
I think that's true.
Some of these have a lot of a sort of a natural nurturing softness to them, even though they're tough guys.
They are.
And Robert also.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that came from you.
Aw, thank you. I think talking about women and connecting all the community work, not that men don't do it, But in my home, I think that allowed my boys to see a lot of empathy.
Mm-hmm. And they are very empathetic.
They are. Yeah. They really are. Yeah. Feminine energy is special.
I think that's been an interesting thing. I mean, we all have sons, and watching the impact that we have as mothers on our sons and how they develop empathy and caring for others. Not that their dads don't do that, but I really did feel like that was a lot my job.
And that's sort of like, that's kind of a cultural moment, right?
Yeah.
Because we talk about like men should be men. But men now, like men need to sort of pick up the slack. If you're just going to be a competitive, hard charging, you know, focusing on the perimeter all the time and not really focusing on what's happening inside the home, mm-hmm. you're kind of a man of the last generation, and there's room to grow into the current moment and share a little bit more, lean a little more into their feminine side to balance it all out in a relationship.
I'm seeing that more when we talked about the younger generation, the girls, like not asking for permission. It probably was about 20, 25 years ago in my own neighborhood, I saw more men staying at home and taking care of the kids and being, I saw empathy growing in the, and I see it now in the younger generation, even with my own kids. I know my boys will be totally hands-on and tap into that empathetic, vulnerable, what we would classify more as a feminine energy than a male energy. And so I have lots of hope for this
generation.
Yes, yeah. I do. I think there'll be a better balance in general.
I feel the same way. I think, you know, my son does some teaching, mm-hmm. and that develops more of the nurturing side. Yeah. And you know, he can be very manly and go play sports and do competitive stuff. But he's also got this sort of open spirit that I think is a more feminine energy.
Well, even on Instagram, you see these dads just braiding their kids' hair. And I just love that.
I also, I love it when they braid the hair and then they go patrol the perimeter, because somebody really needs to take care of that.
We need both.
And I do need somebody to protect me and take care of me. And, you know, I'm like, I love that too. It's sort of a...
I like it more that we protect and take care of each other.
Yeah. Agreed. Because and it's really, just in different, it's in different ways.
Yeah. Okay. So one other variant on the feminine power that I kind of want to plumb with you guys. Do you remember we had... couple of seasons ago, we had the sex therapist on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She talked about tapping into your sexual energy, mm-hmm. which was different than your sexuality. And I think women of a bygone era, their power came from their sexuality.
100% agree.
Because you were sort of forced into that box. If you were beautiful and tall with long legs, you were going to go places that someone sort of short with stubby little legs like me wasn't going to go.
Oh, cute things come in small packages. Thank you. Don't kid yourself.
But that's different. That's sexuality. And there's this other piece of it, which is sort of sexual power. I didn't 100% understand it, but I thought you did. I'm curious.
I understand it, but I think it's super tricky. And I think it can be a really dangerous place for women to go, both professionally and personally, if they're over-relying on that. And I do feel in the corporate world, corporate, not what I'm doing now, you get sexualized a lot, especially during the years that I was sort of coming up. I'm not talking about sexual harassment. I'm just mm-hmm. talking about like expectations of how you look and how you act and that kind of thing that I found to be, it was like an extra burden you had to carry. And so it's difficult because we're all sexual beings. Like that's right. just a fact of life. That's part of being a human and an animal. It's mm-hmm. like, but I find it to be a really tricky place. I also think it's interesting as we get older, how that changes. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, that power is waning, and yet it's also a little bit of a relief.
Yeah. You know, I read an article that talked about feminine power in general, not so much sexual power, but feminine power. And it talked about the shadows of it. And the shadows, they named three of them. One was manipulation. And when you talk about sexual energy,
it's kind of a downside
to it. Made me
kind of
think. And then the other one was perfectionism. And people pleasing. I probably fit more under the people pleasing, I would assume, if there was a shadow. And I thought that's interesting. But when you were talking about, or both of you talking about the sexual energy, not that that's manipulative, but I think there are probably individuals that don't have the self-confidence of the other power that lies within them, that may show itself more.
I also think it can be a self-protective mechanism when you're in a very male-dominated place, if you use that, and it becomes, but it, I think it messes with your head, because then it does become manipulative. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to figure out like who you are and whether that really is going to work for you.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's tricky and it's a dangerous road.
I don't think you see it anymore as much.
I think it's better.
Yeah.
It's still there.
But it's still there. I mean, because some of it is just human, right?
Like, right.
Some of it is just, you know.
And all those shadows are still there too.
Yeah, they are.
And it's the downside of female power.
It is. Right. No, it is the shadows of it.
Yeah.
It is.
And
yeah.
That's why I think it's important for people to really think about, for women to think about, where does your power lie? And how are you going to use it? What are the downsides to it? How do you bring your best self with all of the innate abilities you have? How do you balance your feminine and masculine energy? These are things that we implicitly do, but we don't overtly think about.
Yeah.
Hopefully this podcast will get people thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talking about the younger generation, I mean, it was later for us to really be able to understand what we had with that, you know, with feminine power. And they just at a young age. I can't wait to see where it evolves for them as well. Because it's taken me places,
mm-hmm.
even in my 50s. So, and embracing that and looking at it as a strength. It's not a weakness Mm-mm. at all, but people used to, like, if you were emotional, you were vulnerable, you were in tears, there was a time where people looked at that as a weakness, but truly it is a strength to be able to do that.
So let's all lean into our female strength, and we'd love to hear from our listeners about what you guys think your feminine power can bring to your life. Reach out to us on our TikTok, our Instagram, our Facebook, or at AmericanMisters.com.